Hi, my name is Shruti.
I'm Abhishek.
And I'm Navneet, and we are in SciComm.
Over the course of 2017, a number of potential collaborators and contributors reached out to us through Twitter and Facebook to do SciComm with us. The initial enthusiasm was always high, and the idea is incredible, but eventually we realized that it's been very difficult for our potential collaborators to make time and generate actual content, whether it's writing a small essay or crafting a podcast.
We understand that doing SciComm is not a primary profession for most of us. We are students, PhD candidates, postdocs, or professionals with a very high demand on our time. Without seeing a clear goal or return on investment, it is difficult to justify carving out portions of our free time.
In view of this, we bring you a new podcast series where we will profile enthusiastic students, scientists, and science communicators. Each of them will talk about who they are, what they do now, how they got here, and a cool scientific concept. We call this a soupçon of SciComm.
And today we have a really, really special guest. She is the first person specializing in wildlife and conservation that in SciComm is collaborating with, and the winner of Sanctuary Asia Magazine's Young Naturalist Award in 2017. And so without any further ado, let's get right to it. Question number one, who are you and what do you do?
Thanks, Shruti. I'm Vaishali Rawat. I'm based in Bangalore and I work with an NGO / research organization called Wildlife Conservation Society India.
Mm-hmm.
WCS is an international organization based in New York. They have programs in over 60 countries and India is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Their aim is to work to conserve wildlife and wild spaces worldwide,
mm-hmm.
using conservation science to form logical and rational conservation actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a scientist there, although most of the people who work here are. I work as media manager here. So my job is to work on outreach and communications in putting out the science that we do out there for people in ways that are interesting and engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And I am especially passionate about this job because I have loved wildlife and wild places. I think that stories about the science of wildlife and their behavior, the ecology, are fun and engaging stories to tell to people,
mm-hmm.
and important stories to tell because we are facing extinction and loss of wild habitats today faster than
Absolutely.
We ever did.
Absolutely.
And it's important for these stories to be told to people.
Absolutely.
So that's what I do.
Excellent. And even if you're not a scientist, don't worry, you are a scientist's best friend because we need more people like
yeah.
you. Question number two, how did you get where you are right now?
Right. So I was interested in studying wildlife since I was in the 8th or 9th grade,
mm-hmm.
after one visit to Corbett National Park. Where I just
that will convert
there.
Anybody, I feel. A visit
yeah.
to Corbett National Park is probably a must.
Yeah, it's a wonderful forest. And I didn't see any wildlife, but I left a part of myself there. So I knew this is what I wanted to do.
Excellent.
Of course, back then I had no idea about how you can do this and
right.
how... I didn't even know there's people who study wildlife. So then I picked science in 10th, 11th grade. That's when you have to choose a stream.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picked science because it seemed like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Not because I was very good at it. And I struggled a little with some subjects, but I really enjoyed biology and the little bit of ecology that we had.
Mm-hmm.
But during school, I didn't have time to pursue wildlife in any other way.
Right. Schools don't really encourage kids to think about ecology. They don't teach much about ecology. They don't teach much about biodiversity,
yeah.
which I think is a really good point to bring up.
I really wish we had more of that because that was something I was really interested in.
Of course.
Yeah, I think it's really important to integrate biodiversity and conservation
mm-hmm.
in school curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
as important as if you're studying political crises or poverty or hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of climate change and interdisciplinary research in climate change and biodiversity loss is showing that we are already dealing with this crisis, and
Absolutely.
For people who don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, I was just thinking wildlife makes sense to study zoology.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I saw myself being a scientist. It was just a confusing time. So
like it is for all of us, so no judgment
there. So back then I started studying zoology. I did it in University of Delhi, Garvey College, because
mm-hmm.
I was based in Gurgaon. Even there, we had a small module on ecology,
mm-hmm.
which focused very briefly on wildlife biology.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I'm glad the subject was there because I got a little bit insight on what studying ecology is like.
Right.
But again, it was very little. And by this time, I was volunteering with research organizations in of field projects in wildlife because some of them encourage taking volunteers on.
Of course.
And at this time I started working with a conservation journalist. Mm-hmm. Her name is Ms. Prerna Bindra.
Mm-hmm.
And she's one of the first journalists of India to write about wildlife issues in mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked with her. I learned a lot about natural resource management. I edited for a journal called Tiger Link, which is a semi-technical journal which collates information about tigers, tiger habitats, illegal trade, science. This was what I was doing during college, apart from studying.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I would really encourage people to do is explore life outside of college, while you're in college.
Heartily agree there. It leads you down so many roads that you never otherwise would have gotten a chance to go down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I had spent my college time doing not much of other things, I would probably also be thinking that now the next thing I need to do is a master's.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people do.
Right.
But I had volunteered enough, I had met enough people by that time during 3 years in college to know that master's is not the only option.
So Vaishali brings up a really interesting point here for the students who are listening to us. It might look like accomplished professionals who are really good in their field right now always knew what they wanted to do and always knew where they were heading. But in fact, all students, when they are at their bachelor's level, experience the same amount of doubt, of confusion. And this can be partially allayed by actually sitting and thinking a little bit about what exactly excites you, what do you want to do. And Vaishali actually goes ahead to explain very eloquently how she was interested not just in the science but also communicating the science to people. So this is like a really nice side note to say, hey, you don't really have to follow what everybody else is doing around you. You don't really have to do what has always been done. You can always strike it out on your own, and there is always a niche for you. Absolutely.
And I did not know what I wanted to do my master's in. I did not see myself being a scientist.
Right.
I was always interested in communicating science and working on outreach initiatives. Whatever scientific projects I participated in, I always had this question in my mind that, okay, we're collecting data here, but how does this make a difference to conservation if it's just staying in like academia and published journals? So initially, I was a little hesitant about asking these questions because, I mean, sometimes ecologists will want to draw a distinction between I am not an advocate, my job is just to do science.
Right.
Anything else like a disservice to science.
Right. And that's very brave of you, I must say. I mean, actually calling people out or actually asking questions about where their stand is morally, ethically or scientifically even can be a really difficult thing to do.
So you ask your questions wisely.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, not that I knew what exactly can come out of this, but my effort was to always document whatever I'm doing, whatever the impact of a certain project is. I would read up in it before going about that landscape, that species, try to spin stories around it and put it out in ways that's interesting for other people and who might not have anything to do with wildlife.
Exactly.
And as I started writing, I found that people enjoyed reading these stories and found that these stories were actually something they didn't know anything about, but still found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If I was writing about endangered landscapes, I would get reactions like, I had no idea we were losing forests so fast. If I wrote about a critically endangered species, I would get responses like, whoa, I had no idea this is happening, it's that bad, is it even going to survive?
Wow.
And so I was semi-happy that writing is having that kind of impact on people. And that's when I start feeling a little more confident in there is a niche for this kind of work also. If you're not a scientist, if you don't want to be a scientist, that's okay. I mean, and I'm not purely a science communicator. My work is always focused more on conservation.
Right.
And building more public support for conservation.
Right.
And using science to do that. And that's pretty exciting. And,
no, I mean, it's the best of both worlds that you're combining, and you're actually doing a great job of it. So, I mean, like I said before, we totally need more people like you to sort of give people the right information, the right science, and to enable sort of, you know, this could go even a step higher and say this could even enable policymakers to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
It could enable lawmakers to make sure the laws are there to, you know, protect biodiversity, to make sure we don't see many, many more cases of, you know, species dying out or things going extinct and stuff like that. So that's really, really great. And finally, we just come to the last question, which is, imagine you have the power to go back in time when you were in high school or undergrad. Can you pick and explain one concept to your younger self that you think is
the coolest, most important, and most awesome in your field?
So difficult question, because I think so many things are cool in this field.
I know, but the difficult ones are always for the last. So you have the most time to answer this.
So it's kind of a broader concept, not one concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I really did not like geography when I was a kid, because it was taught in such a boring and drab manner. And the idea was just, this is a map. Learn the names on the maps.
Yes.
Write them on
draw
the map.
Out the rivers. Draw out like all the mountain ranges on an empty map of India.
Yeah.
Gosh, no offense to my geography teacher, but I mean, sometimes it really was very boring.
Yeah, it was. The way it is meant to be taught is so boring. And like, and I mean, it was frustrating because I found maps fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I found different sorts of maps and terrains really interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not understand how this was so boring.
How they could extract all the joy out of it to make it like so dry.
Yeah.
I agree with you there, because I think you probably agree with me too, because I was one of those people who, just for fun, I would sit and flip through atlases, or I would, you know, sit and stare at maps.
Me too.
So I loved looking at maps and terrains, and I wondered exactly the same thing. How can it be so much fun to just sit by myself and like look at atlases versus like sit in a 30 minutes class with like a geography teacher teaching yourself?
Yeah. I was that kid too.
Yeah.
And probably also because I traveled so much as a kid, it was just fun to be like, this is where I am.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time pondering about, I'm learning about how we use maps and geographic terrains to understand animal behavior, movement, connectivity in populations. Now that I'm learning so much about geography and maps and the application and use of them in conservation science or just ecology, it is really fascinating to know about how animals and wildlife and you know, even plants adapt to live in diverse ecosystems, in diverse kind of biomes worldwide. Because and in India, we have such an amazing variety of natural landscapes. I'm going to be partial to India because...
Well, we are Indians. Of course, we should be partial to India.
Yeah, of course. We are one of the 18 mega diverse countries in the world.
Yeah.
We have a staggering variety of natural landscapes. It has tended to be forest-centric because that's how people tend to perceive wilderness. But we have forests, but we have grasslands, coasts, mangroves, deep-sea ecosystems, deserts, and all of these have amazing wildlife that we may not hear about. So I understand that scientists will probably study a specific landscape or a specific animal maybe, or trends in a certain landscape.
Right.
I think that trying to tell the stories of these forests and wildlife, as well as how rapidly we are losing them. We have very fragmented protected areas in India. While they're stunning and beautiful, they're small and very fragmented all over India.
Right.
And protected areas are the ones that legally get protection, where there are some legal safeguards on resource extraction and protecting wildlife.
So like, for example,
but
you would say Kaziranga is a protected area because of the
Kaziranga
rivers.
National Park or say Akoba Tiger Reserve.
Right.
And these are the better known ones. There's a lot of protected areas that people don't know about. So, and I've been lucky enough to see a lot of them. And my early ones that I saw were in Uttarakhand. So Corbett Tiger Reserve is the bigger one. But next to it is another one called Ramnagar Forest Division and several protected areas like Pavalgarh, Nanthol, which are beautiful forests in themselves too. So just it expanded my mind about how I saw forests in India.
Right.
So I would just like to encourage people to read more about protected areas, unprotected areas, forests, ecosystem services, the staggering variety of wildlife that India has.
Absolutely.
So I would tell my younger self that if you don't think you're going to spend your life researching one place or one landscape, that's okay. Because there is a place for you here, even if you don't. Because we need more people to bring out stories, to be able to communicate the significance of the science and use it to make a difference.
Right.
And you still belong here, even if you don't, you don't see yourself as a scientist.
Even if you, even if you don't think you fit in, you actually fit in, because you can make space for yourself. And there's enough space for everybody to do their best. That is such a heartwarming note to end on, Vaishali. You have no idea. It makes me want to go back and think about what would have happened if instead of neuroscience, I would have been interested in geography. So that's wonderful. Thank you very, very much.
And thank you for listening to us. If you enjoyed this mini podcast, please reach out to us to either be part of this series or to suggest someone else that you know would be perfect for this series. We're on Twitter and Facebook, and you can email us at insicom@gmail.com.